Today in our church, in the Lighthouse churches, we celebrate our pastors. Amen. Today is what we call Galatians 6:6 Sunday, which is a day when we just appreciate the pastors and the men of God and the people who have given themselves to be used by God to be a blessing to us. Amen. You know, a pastor is a special person from God. He's a messenger from God, someone that God gives to be in your life and to be with you. You see, one of the names of a pastor is a shepherd, you know. And a shepherd's job is to be with the sheep, you know, and not to do anything specifically for the sheep, but just to be with the sheep and to respond and to be whatever he needs to be to the sheep at whatever time. Amen. Is everything okay outside, or should I come and look outside also? What's going on there? All right. Maybe Pastor Munene can take care of that for us. So the rest of you come in, because Pastor Charles, is everything okay? Yeah? Where's Lady Pastor Aquile? Okay, so just come and sit down. Let's have our church. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Amen. So I was saying to you that a pastor is a special person from God. And like a shepherd, you know, apart from the regular routine job of feeding the sheep and preaching to you, you know, a pastor is someone that you need to be with you as you go along the way. Amen. And on any given day, a shepherd cannot predict how the sheep are going to need him. Do you understand? He cannot wake up in the morning and say, today I'm going to rescue three of my sheep from lions. Or today three of them are going to fall in a river and I'm going to try to get them out. Or today two of them will be caught in a bush or something and I'm going to rescue them. He just doesn't know what is going to happen. So his job essentially is to be with the sheep. And depending on how the day goes, he responds accordingly. Hallelujah. And everyone needs someone like that in their life to accompany you in your journey through life. And that is why God gives us pastors. Amen. So there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 43. Which I can share with you briefly. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 4. Isaiah 43 and verse 4. Which says, since thou wast precious in my sight. Or because you are precious in my sight. You know, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 4. Because you are precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable. And I have loved thee. Therefore will I give people, men for thee and people for thy life. Hallelujah. Amen. So one of the ways that the Lord shows us that we are precious to him is by giving us people for our lives. Amen. Amen. If you like, that will probably be the true definition of a lifeguard. Do you see? Yeah. A lifeguard is typically someone at the swimming pool or at the beach just waiting for you to get into some kind of trouble, and then he rescues you from drowning. Hallelujah. But I think that God's lifeguard is just someone to be with you, who is with you through the different ages, different stages, and different phases of your life. Different ceremonies, the ups, the downs, you know, when you have a baby, when the baby doesn't make it, when someone has a miscarriage, when someone gets a new job and he's rejoicing, the pastor is there. When he's fired from that same job, the pastor is also there. Do you see what I'm saying? So his job is to be with you and to accompany your life. That is what God gives to you in a pastor. And he says, I do it because you are precious in my sight. Hallelujah. You are precious in my sight, and you are honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee. I will give men for thee, and I will give people for thy life. Hallelujah. And so we all need to embrace the pastors and the men of God and the women of God and everyone that God gives for your life, because God indeed gives people for your life. God, it's not an accident that a preacher or a pastor, you know, or a lady pastor would be associated with you or will be in your life. It is someone that God has given. It is a work of God to give someone in it, someone to be with you and to be in your life, and it is not an accident. Can I have an amen? Right? You know, when you read this other passage in Luke chapter 13 and from verse 34, Luke chapter 13 and verse 34, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stones them that are sent unto thee. Amen. He says that prophets are people who are sent to us. Amen. Who sent them? God. God sends prophets. And a prophet is just a representative of one of the five expressions of God in our lives. Isn't it? What we call the fivefold ministry is like five ways that God expresses himself to people, isn't it? Which is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Hallelujah. So God will give you an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher, someone to be with you. Amen. And the Bible says God sends them. And he was complaining here. He said, when I send people to you, you stone them. And then he says, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings? And ye would not. So by sending the prophet to them, it was God's attempt and God's effort at gathering them together like a hen would gather her brood or her chickens under her wings. Do you see? Some of you have not seen a live chicken before, so you probably don't understand this. Amen. Any, have you seen a live chicken before? Are you sure? All right. Maybe if you go to the zoo or something, you can find one. But the imagery here that is being used is the Lord is showing us that often he has wanted to be to us what a hen would be to her hatched chickens, isn't it? And he says, I do that through the prophets and the pastors and the people that I give for your life, isn't it? He says, how often I would have gathered you, thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not, you wouldn't let me. Then he says, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, you will not see me until the time when you will say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, you won't see my hand at work in your life. You won't see me involved in your life until you learn to embrace the people that I send to you. Hallelujah. Because I promised that I will give people for thy life. I will give people for thy life. I will give you a lifeguard. Hallelujah. I will give you someone who will be with you through the different phases, the different stages, the different challenges, the different celebrations, the ups, the downs, the victories, the defeats. I'm going to give you someone who will walk with you through your life's journey. And the person's job is to be with you. Hallelujah. Not to do anything in particular for you, but just to be with you. And it is the situation that defines his role in your life at any given point. Amen. It is his role in your life at any given point is defined by what is going on in your life at any given point. Hallelujah. And so he said, I will give people for your life and I will give someone to be with you. And he says, when I give people like that to you, do not stone them, do not kill them, do not throw them away. Do not avoid them. Do not hide from them. Do not dodge them. Do not give them a false phone number to you. Do not give them the wrong address to your house. Do not neglect or ignore their emails or ignore their invitations or shut the doors when they are trying to come in to visit you or pretend you are not at home when you're actually there or turn on the voicemail to your phone when you see it's them calling. He said, don't do such things to the people that I send into your life. Hallelujah. So he said, I would have gathered you together as the hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but you would not. Then he said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. He said, your empty life, your empty house, you know, the lack of activity or spiritual activity, the absence of your spiritual development and spiritual growth, it is because of who you have shut out of your life. And sometimes when we shut people out of our lives, we do not realize that we are actually shutting God out of our lives. Hallelujah. When the Comcast man shows up at your doorstep and he rings the bell, and he's coming to set up your cable television. When you do not let him in, you are not letting Comcast into your house. And because of that, you're not going to have TV. Because of that, the internet is not going to work. Do you understand? The internet is not going to work. And then you're going to get on the phone and call customer service and scream at them and say, my internet is not working. My TV is frozen. My phone is not working and everything. And the only thing they're going to do is to send you one person from their place again to come and see to it. When that person comes in and he rings the bell and you still don't let him in because you don't like his height or you don't like his color or you don't like his cup or you don't like his uniform or you don't like something about him, and because of that you turn him away, then he's going to go away. The internet will still not work. The phone will still not work. You'll still not have Comcast service in your house because of who you have refused entry to as far as your home and your life is concerned. So when you call the big organization, all that they do is to send you one small representative from their organization. And if you let him into your life, you experience everything that huge organization has to offer. You experience high-speed internet. You experience high-speed cable connections, TV channels, so many different things are possible because of one small person you allow to come into your house or into your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when you let that one person come into your life, you get to have all these blessings. And yet these blessings are not provided by that person. He's simply the one who activates it on behalf of the larger company that he represents and the larger company that sent him. He doesn't come to you in his own name. He comes to you because you made a call to Comcast. Hallelujah. So many times when you make a call to God in the form of a prayer, God answers your prayer by sending one of his little men, a small man of God, and sending him into your life. But many people do not recognize God in the pastors and the people that God sends to them. And so they shut their lives up to these people, and they are not able to experience the blessings that God has for them. That is the reason why the Lord said, you know, you shall not see me. Look at verse 35. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. There's no cable in your house. He said, there's no internet in your house. The phones are off. They're not working. You know, and there's nothing in your house. You can't watch any movies in your house. There's no entertainment in your house. There's nothing there because you wouldn't open the door to the one man who would turn it all on for you. Hallelujah. That man does not make the internet. Somebody else, something much greater than him, makes the internet. But that man can connect you to it. Hallelujah. That man has the keys. He has the code. And he is authorized by the organization he represents to turn it on in your life. And when he comes in and goes away, your whole life in that house changes. Everything that was not possible becomes possible. A wide range of possibilities are open to you because you let one small person into your life. And yet not because of himself, but because of who he represents, whom you called upon to send that person to you. Hallelujah. And often you realize that when you make that big call, you don't choose who comes to you. Amen. You don't choose who comes to you. No one gets to choose their mailman, isn't it? No one gets to choose who delivers their mail. Whoever brings your mail, your focus is supposed to be on what he brought and not who brought it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I believe that God sends us people. We may not choose them, but God will choose them for us. They may not be who we would have chosen. They may not be who we would prefer, but God chooses such people for us and strategically positions them in our lives so that they can be a blessing to our lives. Hallelujah. So we need to open our lives up to the men of God and the pastors and the lady pastors and people that God surrounds our lives with. Hallelujah. Because he promised, he said, I will give you people. I will give people for your life. I will give men for thee, and I will give people for your life. I will give someone for your life because you are precious to me, because you are honorable, and because I have loved you. I will show or demonstrate these things by giving you someone to be with you. Hallelujah. And he said, you will not see me. You will not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That means we must love the people. Hallelujah. We must appreciate them. Hallelujah. We shouldn't throw stones at them. Hallelujah. Pastors are ordinary people. They have faults just like anybody else. Hallelujah. But you see, God knows what he's giving you or knows what he's getting when he chooses a pastor. Hallelujah. Because he chooses a pastor to perform a specific role in your life. Can I have an amen? God knows that pastors also are not perfect. Pastors have all kinds of challenges and all kinds of problems. In fact, when you read Hebrews chapter 5, go to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says every high priest, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 1. Where's Hebrews? Okay, right there. Chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God. Hallelujah. He says, every pastor or every priest or every high priest, you know, is taken from among men. So in that sense, they are not special. Do you see what I'm saying? Because they are just ordinary people taken from among men means they are just ordinary men and ordinary people. Hallelujah. But then the next line says, but it's ordained for men in things pertaining to God. That's what makes him special. Hallelujah. So he's an ordinary person who is made a little extraordinary so that he can be of some relevance and a little blessing to you. Hallelujah. That is the difference. So it's like a policeman. Every policeman is an ordinary man, but he's taken from among men and then he is empowered by the government. Then suddenly he becomes a little extraordinary. He has extra powers that ordinary men do not necessarily have. So he gets to be able to stop you. Amen. As you drive your car up and down the roads, he gets to stop you and give you a ticket. But other men do not get to stop you. Not everyone can jump in the middle of the road and jump in front of your car and say, stop, you're driving too fast, when they didn't buy that car for you. Hallelujah. Nobody has a right to tell you how fast to drive your car except somebody who is empowered by the government to do so. Hallelujah. And so that makes him that much special. Amen. It makes him a little extraordinary. Hallelujah. And so he says, they are chosen by God that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Verse 2 says, who can have compassion on them that are ignorant? That means he should be able to have, or he's someone who is able to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Do you see? So you see that when someone is a pastor, God is not trying to make a statement that he's a perfect person. Hallelujah. Because he says, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Infirmity means weakness. Amen. So pastors also have weaknesses. Pastors also are human. And pastors also have all the problems and all the difficulties and challenges that ordinary people or everybody else faces. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So even verse 3 says, so by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. That means he must also confess his own sins. Just like he leads the people, as he helps the people, he must also help himself. He must also eat some of what he cooks. What do you think? Yeah. When he makes, like a chef, when he cooks the food, he shouldn't just serve it out. He must eat some of what he has also cooked. Amen. So when a pastor stands in front of you to share the word of God, he himself is not above it. He himself needs a hefty dose of what he's teaching and preaching. Hallelujah. He needs that himself. So pastors are not, so when you reject a man of God or reject a pastor because of a fault he has, you are making a mistake, because from day one when God chose him, he knew what he was getting. He knew that he was getting someone with infirmity. Do you understand? But you see, the thing is that whatever infirmity he has, God will choose him anyway, especially when that infirmity is not in the way of what he's using him to do. Because you can see that in spite of the fact that the priest has the infirmity, the Bible says he can have compassion on the ignorant, which is the reason why God wants him. Do you see? Now, Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15 says that I will give you pastors according to my heart. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. I will give you pastors according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Have you found that verse? Yeah? Okay, it says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. I will give you pastors according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Okay, so it is because God wants to give us pastors who, or God's reason for giving us pastors is to give us people who will feed us with knowledge and understanding. That is the reason why when you go back to Hebrews chapter 5, the primary quality he's looking for is someone who can have compassion on the ignorant. Do you understand? Because it is the ignorant that needs knowledge. And it is often our ignorance that causes us to fall into all kinds of situations. The Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." It is because of what we do not know that we fall into all kinds of situations. And so he says, "I need someone who can have compassion or who can have a burden or feelings for what people do not know, so that he can impart knowledge and understanding to them." Hallelujah. So when God finds someone, he's looking for someone who can do that. And his infirmities are not so much the problem. It is like if you need someone to cook for you and you find a chef who can cook, it might not matter to you that he couldn't drive. Do you see what I'm saying? Because great if he can drive, but that's not why you're hiring him. You see, you need someone who can make real delicious meals. And when you find someone who can do that, you choose him anyway, in spite of the fact that he cannot drive. Because the issue is not about driving. Do you see? It's about cooking. If he can cook, he's in. Hallelujah. And his inability to drive, you're going to find some other way of sorting that out. Maybe you hire a cab to pick him up, or you pick him up yourself. But at least he can do what you really want or need him to do. And that is the reason why you're choosing him. Hallelujah. So sometimes we get surprised at who God chooses to use as a pastor. Sometimes you look at someone that you wouldn't have chosen, and you say that he has this fault or that problem or that problem. But to God, he can have compassion on the ignorant. Do you see? To God, God can see something in him that makes him very attractive, and that makes him very useful for the cause for which he's choosing him. So God seems to choose them anyway. So there are all kinds of pastors. Pastors from all backgrounds, all races. Pastors even with criminal backgrounds. Pastors who've been to prison before. Pastors who've done so many different things. Once I met a pastor who said he's killed somebody before. I said, "Hey." And I was sitting next to him, you know. I said, "This man is capable of killing people." He told us the story of how somebody, he said a young man came to his house and was trying to date his daughter. So he just watched them go out on a couple of dates or something like that. And then one day he invited the young man for a conversation. And he sat him down and then he told him, "Anyway, just for your information, I just wanted you to know that I've killed someone before." Yeah. He was just telling him, I just want you to know a little bit about me, that I did some time. I did some time in the past. In fact, that's how he got converted. He killed someone and then he went to prison for it. And while he was in the prison, he got converted. And he came out of the prison, I think went to Bible school or something like that. And God has used him to plant so many churches, you know. So when he saw the young man went on a couple of dates with his daughter, he thought that, well, it might help him to know a little bit about my history and what I'm capable of doing. Hallelujah. So there are all kinds of pastors. Pastors who used to be addicted to drugs. There are even pastors who still struggle with those kinds of things. Hallelujah. But I want you to know that God still chooses people. God chooses imperfect people. Hallelujah. And often as God is using them, they get better and better and better. Hallelujah. They get better and better and better. Anybody that God uses, God leaves him much better than when he found him. The grace of God and the power of God is such that, and is so potent that when it passes through you to reach someone, it leaves a residue on you. Hallelujah. It just leaves a residue on you. You can't help it. It's like you take a spoon and you dip it in a sauce and you pass on the sauce into another plate. The spoon can't help but retain some of the sauce. There are traces of the sauce on the spoon always.
there are traces of what it was used to fetch always. So when God uses someone to impart love or victory or strength or courage, he always leaves a residue on that person. And that is why we must never resist the choice of God. We must never resist it when God wants to use us. When God chooses you and wants to use you, or God chooses your son or your daughter or your relative, whatever God chooses to use, you must release them to God, because God will give that person back to you in a much better state than when he gave the person to you, or than when he chose the person. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So God is like that, and God helps them. We are all a work in progress. That's why you need to be patient with your pastor. Amen. That's why you need to learn how to forgive your pastor. You need to learn how to say, it's okay. Sometimes you can be very mad at him, but you forgive him. You have to remember that he's also compassed about. He says he's compassed with infirmity. Compassed is an old word that means surrounded. You know, so it means he doesn't have just a couple of faults here and there. All around him, in every area of his life, there is some kind of imperfection. Hallelujah. But God chooses him anyway, because that imperfection is not required for God to use him to do what he's choosing him to do, or does not stand in the way often of what God is choosing him to do. And anything that stands in the way of what God is going to use him to do, God removes it before he uses him. When you pick a spoon and it has some blemish on it, what do? Before you use it, you wash it. So God is not going to pick a man of God and just use him just as he is. God takes the person, he works on him. He removes anything that stands in the way. But that same spoon may be bent a certain way that you might not do anything about, because the bent end of the spoon may not affect its ability to fetch what you need it to fetch. So you may leave it as it is. So you see some preacher, he's bent in a certain way, but God is still using him. You understand? But the reason why people may reject him is because they don't look at what he's bringing into their lives. They just look at the curvature of his tail and they say, no, this man can't be a man of God. And their focus stays on that so much that it costs them even in receiving what God gave to him for their lives. Hallelujah. So I pray that God will open your eyes to appreciate your pastors in a different way from today. Amen. And to appreciate every man of God that he has placed in your life. Know that he said it's because you are precious to him that he has given somebody for your life. Hallelujah. It is because you are honorable to him. It is because he has loved you that he has given somebody for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? Stand to your feet and let me bring my message to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, before we close the service, we want to take a moment and pray for our pastors. Not just the pastors in this church, but the pastors in the Lighthouse churches worldwide, and pastors everywhere indeed, and every man of God who has been a blessing or whom God has used at any time in your life. He may even have baptized you, or he may have just given you some advice at some stage in your life, or may have preached a sermon to you one day, even if it's as little as that this man of God did for you. Today you want to remember him, and you want to pray for them. You want to pray that God will strengthen them, God will encourage them. Many pastors go through many difficult challenges, and sometimes they themselves don't even know where to turn to. Many pastors suffer so many things. Some pastors are even depressed. They take on so many burdens, so much work, so much pressure from every side and from so many people, that many of them collapse in depression under the burden of the work that they are doing. But today we want to remember them. Often we expect so much from our pastors, But nobody even cares to pray for them. Nobody even thinks about how they are going to give them so much. And I want us to pray today and say, Lord, increase your grace upon their lives. Multiply your grace towards them. Let the supply of the Spirit be generous towards these pastors in the name of Jesus. Bless the pastors, anoint them, choose them and use them for your glory. Provide their needs and bless them. Pray for their families and pray that God will touch their children. As pastors travel around and go away and minister and look after other people's children, pray that God will cause others and raise others also to look after their own children. God will send people into their lives and be a blessing to them in the name of Jesus. Pray that the pastors will stay encouraged and they will stay courageous, and that they will still move forward with strength and determination to build more churches and places of refuge for God's people in the name of Jesus. A place where God can speak to his people. A place where God can touch his people. A place where God's people can hear his voice in encouragement in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for our pastors everywhere around the world. We thank you, Lord, for Bishop Dag. We thank you, Lord, for Bishop Saki and Bishop Eddie and all the other senior ministers in the Lighthouse. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with such people, for giving such people for our lives. And thank you for the blessing they have been to us through the years. Many, many, many years of blessing, many, many years of encouragement, many, many, many years of preaching and teaching and impartation of knowledge to bless us and to encourage us, to teach us to know things we otherwise wouldn't have known. We pray, Lord, today that you remember them. We pray, Lord, that you will encourage them. We pray, Father, that you will strengthen them. All our pastors across this country, from the East Coast to the West Coast, through the Midwest, everywhere, we pray, Lord, that you will remember our pastors and strengthen them. Make them anointed, O God. Remove from their lives anything that is an obstruction, O God, to carrying your grace and to carrying the anointing of God and to carrying the message of God to God's people in the name of Jesus. Remove all such things from their lives. Father, remove obstacles, remove hurdles, remove things that fight against them, things that hinder their progress, that hinder their advancement. Remove all such things from their lives in the name of Jesus. Deliver them from the spirit of fear. Deliver them from stressful situations. Father, raise up helpers. Help us to stand with them. People who love God and who love the people of God, who will stand with these pastors and support them, just like you raised Joshua to stand and lift up the hands of Moses, O God, when he was tired. I pray that you will raise up Joshuas who will stand with our pastors, O God, to keep their hands up and to keep their hands up and to keep the people of God fighting and to keep the cause of God advancing, O God, that more land will be taken for you, more souls will be won for you in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that you will supply all their need, supply their spiritual needs, supply their marital needs, supply their material needs in the name of Jesus. Supply the needs of their children. Oh God, bless these pastors and bless their congregations in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much for a day like this when we celebrate the people that you have given for our lives. Thank you for caring enough about us to give us such blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your great blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.